Well, if you happen to be new to CCV, we are one church that actually meets in multiple locations all across the valley. And you know, when you look at this map that's going to show up on screen, you'll see that as of last weekend, with our vision to reach the whole entire valley for Christ, we had 16 campuses as of last weekend. That was last weekend. Because this weekend, someone better celebrate big with me, because we are launching this weekend our 17th CCV campus, CCV Maricopa in the city of Maricopa. So let's give it up for them across all our campuses. The city of Maricopa, if you haven't been there recently, is exploding. You can kind of see the location of Maricopa compared to our Queen Creek campus. And we've had our staff there working so hard to launch this campus. Our campus pastor, Kenny, and the whole entire team, and so many volunteers have worked so hard. And so we're expectant and we're praying. And if you know someone in that area, please invite them to be a part of this launch. It's going to be really, really exciting. And I want to thank you, for those of you that give, thank you for your generosity. It allows us to launch more locations so we can reach more people for Jesus. Speaking of being thankful for generosity, I want to update you for just a minute on our response as a church to Hurricane Helene and Milton. For those of you that may or may not know, this has been one of the worst natural disasters in American history. And the devastation has been deep. It's been wide. It's affecting so many people in horrific ways. We have an incredible missions team here. Our missions pastor, Larry Fraley, we sent him on the ground to North Carolina and Florida with our missions partner, Convoy of Hope, to assess the damage. And we opened up ways for you to give to that. And he actually came back from that trip with pink eye, because it's so bad, they don't even have water to wash sheets there where he was staying. And so many people are affected. And we asked our partner, Convoy of Hope, we just said, what can we do as a church to help? And they said, well, man, something huge you could do is if you could fill an entire semi-truck full of food and supplies for those that are in need, especially in North Carolina, because that's where a lot of the really devastating effects are. He said, if you could do that, that'd be awesome. And we told Convoy of Hope, you need to dream bigger with us. Because we're a church that dreams big, and we want to risk big, especially with these kind of things. And so they said, well, you could fill an entire warehouse full of supplies and water and food, which would be the equivalent of 20 semi-trucks. And we said, sign us up. And so CCV, that's what you did, all right? We filled an entire warehouse that's being used right now. It's over $240,000 worth of supplies that's being shipped to churches all across North Carolina. Because here's the beauty of Convoy of Hope, our partner. They distribute all their relief through local churches in the area. Because listen, when the disaster's over and all the relief agencies go home, the local church stays. And so all that relief goes through the local church, so the local church can then reach and minister to people for the long haul. So CCV, can I just thank you? You never cease to amaze me. Thank you for those of you that gave to that relief effort. You are truly making a difference. Can we thank those that gave to that effort? Thank you so much. Well, Jamie and I in our house have a running joke. And here's the joke. It's really about me. When I get hungry, any guys get a little hangry out there? When I get hungry in our house, I will walk in the pantry and I'll just start like looking through everything in the pantry. And I'm like looking, and then sometimes Jamie will see me walk out of the pantry and go, and then I'll go to the refrigerator, I'll open up the fridge, I'll start moving stuff around everywhere. I'm just looking everywhere. And she's like, what are you doing? So I'm looking for something to eat. And she starts laughing. Why? Do you think my wife has an empty pantry and an empty refrigerator? There's tons of good food. It's just not what? It's not what I want. What am I looking for? I'm looking for junk, okay? I'm looking for junk food. I'm embarrassed to tell you how much of a sweet tooth I have, all right? But I brought today some of my favorite junk food, all right? I'm just going to show you today. And this is kind of what I impulsively want to go to. And I'm going to start with one of my favorites, the Flamin' Hot Cheeto, okay? Come on, Flamin' Hot Cheeto fans. You know, it's like I want to have one of these, but I don't know. I'll just have a little bit of that. These are so good. I love them. Probably my favorite candy in the world right now. I don't know if you've ever had these. It's the Harbaro berries. You ever seen these? I want to stop the service right now and just like, I love these things if you haven't tried them. Any Reese's fans? Reese's peanut butter cups? Come on. It's the number one candy in America. Personally, I like the white chocolate ones. You ever had white chocolate? If not, you're missing out. I'm telling you. Now, I'm a little embarrassed about this, but yes, I like the nerd clusters, okay? And some of you may be like, what are you, 15 years old? Don't knock what I like, all right? I like the nerd clusters. And then when it comes to cookies, I am an oatmeal raisin fan, all right? Oatmeal raisin fan. And I can feel the judgment. Some of you are frowning. I frown on you, okay? I frown on you. I'm going to come back to this, but is there anybody else that could love? You know what I'm saying? All right, I'll come back to that in a second. Here's what I know. Here's what you know. I can fill my belly with this stuff. And as much as I might think I'm filling myself up, I'm actually still left empty all day long. It's empty calories on this table. And yet it's what I'm impulsively drawn to. I think there's lessons to be learned here when it comes to our spiritual life. Because let me remind you, you don't just have a physical body you're trying to feed, you have a soul. And I'd put it this way, you are not a physical body that has a soul. You're a soul that has a physical body. Because your soul is what's going to last forever somewhere, not your physical body. And so you are trying to feed your soul with something, and what you feed your soul with will determine if you actually feel fulfilled in this life. And so the question I want to ask right up front is just, is what you're filling your life with, is it actually filling you up, or are you filling your life with a bunch of junk food? We're in this series called Blessed, and what we're doing is we're walking through the most famous message Jesus ever gave on earth, the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus starts this sermon in Matthew chapter 5, the very first thing he talks about is Jesus gives us 8 principles that will lead to a blessed life. Now, the word blessed that Jesus uses is basically to have a happy, fulfilled life that the world can't take away from you. It's a happiness that's beyond your wildest imagination. And what Jesus does is he gives us these blessed statements or these beatitudes, and most people ignore them sometimes because they're misunderstood. And so we're explaining them in this series, and we're on the 4th week today. We're going to come to the 4th beatitude. And this beatitude, Jesus is a master teacher. He uses the analogy of hunger and thirst, which I think is very fitting on today, this weekend, because we got barbecue after every service, and we're going to fill you up. But Jesus says there's only one thing that you can hunger and thirst for in this world that will fill you up to the brim. Now, before I tell you what Jesus said will fill you up, let me just ask you very honestly, what are you filling up with right now in life? And just be honest. And to make it practical, just think about the last month of your life. If you just looked at the last month of your life, what would you say you're chasing? What are you hungering after? What drives you in life that you think is going to make you happy? And for some of us today, very honestly, what we're chasing is just comfort. Like, we work hard during the week, and we live for the weekends. Now, we want to just relax on the weekends, or we want to drink or party on the weekends, or hit the bar on the weekends, or hang out with friends on the weekends. We want to just kind of do our thing on the weekends, whether that's a hobby or something else. Others of you, what you'd say you're chasing your kids' success, whether that's in the schoolroom or on a sports field. Some of you have a child who's the number one rated player in the state of Arizona with underwater basket weaving, synchronized underwater basket weaving, maybe. I don't know. I mean, it's cool. They're on a traveling team. They're really doing good. Probably going to get a scholarship. It's going to make their life come alive and yours too. I don't know what you're chasing. It's not bad to chase after your kid's success. I just wonder if it's really fulfilling you. Some of you are chasing the love of your life. You're chasing the one. Because surely if you found the one, as Tom Cruise said, you'd be complete. And that's true, right? I mean, anybody who's married would say, I mean, my wife, Jamie, would say that I complete her in every single way. Amen. Yeah. Some of you are chasing money and success and the next promo. It's why you work so hard. Some of you are chasing just popularity or image management. Like you spend all your time on social media, making sure every picture is perfect and you're projected the right way. Now, things are a mess behind the scenes, but you got to project that it's really good, right? I mean, on your way to church today, you blew up in the car on your family and you got out and you were like, you love Jesus. Smile. Selfie. We're at church. You know, it's like, I don't know what you're chasing. The question is it filling you up? And Jesus said, there is only one thing. He uses the analogy of hunger and thirst, which I love. There's only one thing you can hunger and thirst after that will actually fill you. And here's what it is. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? For righteousness. For they will be filled. And the word filled here means filled to the brim. Now, to really understand this beatitude, which can be confusing for some people, we have to actually just ask ourselves, what did Jesus mean when he said righteousness? And theologically, in Scripture, there's kind of two types of righteousness. One is positional, one is personal. Positional righteousness is basically that you admit at some point in life that you are a sinner. I'm a sinner. We've all sinned, and that makes us not right with God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 puts it this way, there's no one righteous, not even one. So the only way to be made righteous in God's sight is to get to a place where you give your life to Jesus and rely on the sacrifice Jesus made for you on a cross, that his blood can cover your sins and you can be made right with God and have the hope of heaven one day. That's positional righteousness. I don't believe that's what Jesus was talking about in this verse. Because think about the first beatitude. The first beatitude was blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who are spiritually bankrupt, right? Who admit their need for Jesus. So he kind of covered that one. I think here when he's talking about righteousness, I think he's talking about a personal righteousness, which basically means once you give your life to Jesus, the whole rest of your life is spent trying to become more like Jesus and live according to God's word. I put it this way. Personal righteousness or the personal pursuit of righteousness is living more and more according to God's word and not my gut. Because how many of you know that your gut will lead you in directions that are not good for you and actually don't fill you up? So what I want to do today is I just want to give you three life-changing principles on spiritual hunger. I'm going to give you three principles on what you actually should be hungering and thirsting for and why it's so hard that many of us don't feel filled up in this life. And if you're taking notes, here's principle number one. What you're impulsively drawn to is rarely what actually fills you. Think about your gut impulses. What you're impulsively drawn to in this world, it rarely is actually what fills you. And it's the same principle that we talked about with food, right? This is what I'm impulsively drawn to. And what food scientists tell us, and food scientists are really open. You should go study this for yourself. Food scientists design junk food to actually, when you eat it, it makes you crave it even more. It's how they design it. I'll give you the example of Cheetos. With Cheetos, food scientist Stephen Witherly, a food scientist, said this. He said, Cheetos are the most marvelously constructed junk food on the planet. It's a food scientist. Why? Because they designed this scientifically where it's so airy and light that when you eat it and it's full of MSG, which is an addictive substance, when you eat it, your brain isn't telling you that you're actually full, so you just keep eating more and more and more, and it's addictive. And that's why some of you have polished off a whole bag of Cheetos in one sitting, right? I have. Now you know why. You're eating it, but it's not actually filling you up, but you think it is. And you're craving even more of it. The more you eat, the more you crave. I think there's a spiritual lesson here. Because when it comes to the things of this world, the more you consume the junk food of this world, the more you want to eat it even more, and the less fulfilled you feel. And Satan is he's like a scientist as well. He dangles things at you and shows you things in this world that you jump after impulsively, and he knows that they're going to become addictive to you and still leave you less fulfilled. I'd say there's someone here today that you continue to consume more and more pornography, and you've convinced yourself it's not a big deal. And yet the more you consume, the more you find yourself craving even more, and you feel less and less filled up in life. It's not fulfilling. Some of you are chasing more money, and the more money you get, the more money you need. And it's leaving you emptier and emptier in life when all the marketing told you it was going to fill you up. Some of you are chasing a junk food diet, and you're thinking it's going to fill you up. And what Satan's so sneaky at doing is he knows this, and he dangles it at you. And he knows that sin, just like a sugar high, is kind of fun in the moment, right? I mean, sin is really fun, right? You're like, can we say that in church? Yeah, I always say if you don't think sin's fun, you're not doing it right, right? But it's like a sugar high. It's fun in the moment. But then you wake up the next day more empty than ever. Philippians chapter 3, Paul said this, "For I've told you often before, and I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they're really enemies of the cross of Christ." There's some that are chasing the things of this world, not righteousness. He says they're headed for destruction. Their God is their appetite. Their God is their gut. They go with their gut feeling on what they think is right versus the righteousness that God calls us to. They brag about shameful things, and they think only about this life here on earth. And if your life is driven by the things of this earth, you will never be filled up in this life spiritually. Let me say it this way. Spiritually, you can't have a junk food diet and expect a fulfilled life. Let me say it again. You can't fill up on what this world offers and then expect that your soul will be filled up. God is providing you a different way. And sometimes, you know, you have no idea what you're missing out on in life until you actually just try it. Because some of you are like, ugh, the ways of, like, righteousness, that doesn't sound fun at all. You have no idea how God wants to fill your life with his goodness if you just do it his way. I like how God puts it in Psalm 34. He says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." You know, sometimes you don't really know how good God wants your life to be until you taste and see. And even though it may not look like it's going to be good, how many of you know that your taste buds can change over time? My taste buds have changed over time. I would tell you, when I was a little kid, the one thing I hated more than anything else was spinach. Okay, I hated spinach. And the funny thing is, as a kid, I don't think I'd ever even tried spinach. It just didn't even look good to me. And this is going to sound dumb, but it's true. I think the reason I didn't like spinach is because I watched Popeye the Sailor Man all as a kid. Do you remember this? He'd eat spinach, and he got ripped. He got, like, all jacked and strong. But when I saw the spinach, that looks disgusting to me. And so I told myself, I will never eat spinach ever. Until I met this hot little blonde girl in college named Jamie. And she likes spinach. I didn't know that, but we were ordering pizza one time, and, you know, I think we're on a date, and she's like, I think she said it in a sultry voice, "Can we add spinach to the pizza?" And I was like, I love spinach. I didn't, but I tried it. And you know what? I love spinach to this day. I really do. Because sometimes you just got to taste and see that the Lord is good. And man, there's things that you just really need to evaluate and say, man, have I not even tried it? And some of you are thinking this, I've tried God's ways and they didn't work for me. Really? Principle number two, nibbling will get you nowhere. You have to clean your plate. You know, this principle of hunger and thirst that Jesus gives us, what you're going to see in a moment is that Jesus actually gives us this principle that when it comes to all the goodness he has for you, righteousness, what some of us do is we are nibbling and thinking it's going to fill us up. Please hear my heart on this next example. Many of you, and we do too, we know someone who struggles with an eating disorder. In fact, Jamie and I in our life right now, we have someone we pray for every single night who's in a facility because they're really struggling with an eating disorder. It's bad. And our heart breaks. And if you've ever been around someone that has an eating disorder, you know that when what they do with their plate is they will pick and nibble. Or they'll just push the food around on their plate as if they're eating, but they're not really eating. And it becomes devastating because someone in their mind, they're sticking bones, but they see someone that's overweight. They see someone that's too filled up, and they're not filled at all. And it's really devastating. It's heartbreaking. And I just want to tell someone here today, you have spiritual anorexia. Like you think you're so filled up spiritually. And man, you are nibbling and picking and pushing things around on your spiritual plate, and you are not consuming full the righteousness that God has for you. You're not. And I saw something when I was studying this verse this week that just blew me away. It speaks so much into this idea. Sometimes I'll be studying God's word, and Mark and I, we'll like run into each other's offices and we'll be like, you won't believe what I just saw. Because scripture's so powerful. This is one of those moments. I was in my office and I just studying this. I'm like, God, you're a genius. See, when it comes to nibbling versus cleaning your plate when it comes to righteousness, Jesus did something in this verse that's brilliant. And I'm going to try to explain it. In the Greek language, this is what the scripture was written in the New Testament, Greek grammar had a set of rules. And let me just put it this way. Anytime you see the word hunger and thirst, whatever's listed after it is always listed in Greek grammar in the genitive tense, which just means this. It just means partial or some. So think this, a hunger for food, hunger for water, all that means is grammatically, if I went to your house and I said, hey, I'm hungry for food, in the Greek language, basically, I would mean this, that I don't mean I'm hungry for all your food. I don't mean I'm hungry for all the food in the world or I want to eat all the food in your house. It means I just want to eat some. When Jesus said to hunger and thirst for righteousness, he broke the Greek grammar language. Did you know that? Because when he said righteousness, he didn't write it in a partial tense. It's written in a full tense. Jesus says, I want you to have all righteousness. All the righteousness. Here's how I describe it. Jesus has a plate that he's offering you. And he says, I want you to have the whole thing. Not to nibble and pick little pieces you want here and there or push it around on the plate acting super spiritual when you're not actually having the whole plate. That's what Jesus is saying. Let me put it this way. Remember the Cookie Monster? The Cookie Monster didn't want one cookie. He wanted what? All the cookies. And Jesus is saying, when it comes to righteousness, I don't want you to have a cookie. I want you to have all of it. Because what? Righteousness, that's the fullness of righteousness. That's the only way you're going to be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For what? They will be filled. The word filled here means to be overflowing. To have everything God wants for you in life. I like the way the Message translation puts it. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink in the best meal you've ever eaten. And you know what some of you, if I asked you to tell your testimony, some of you would say this. You came to God at one point so hungry and thirsty because you were not filled. You were broken in life because you tried everything the world has to offer, sexually, materially, chasing after everything in the world. You came to God broken and empty, and you know what God did? He filled you. And you actually went all in. Like you said, I want it all, God. You were in church every weekend. You joined a small group. You started serving. You started reading scripture every day. You're just like, I'm after it all, God. You weren't nibbling. You were in. And there's some of you here today, that's your story, and you don't feel fulfilled today, right now. And you're like, what's wrong? It's principle number three we see from this verse. You can't live off yesterday's nutrition. Watch Jesus unfold this for us. Because what some of us do is we had a moment in our life where we were kind of all in, scripture, like with our faith and spiritually, and we're still trying to use that as like our nutrition for today. Let me put it this way. When it comes to hungering and thirsting for food and water, do you hunger and thirst every day for food and water? Yeah, some of you, if you missed a meal or you went a day without eating or drinking water, you would cry like a little baby. Does that describe you when you miss a weekend of church? When you miss a day of being in scripture, when you didn't show up for small group that week, or when you kind of stopped serving, like, does it bother you so much that, man, when it comes to hungering and thirsting, you're not resting on, I got baptized one day, I'm good. You're not resting on, yeah, I used to be in, that makes me good today. No, you're hungry and thirsting today. Watch this. When Jesus said hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst is listed in the present active tense, not the past tense. Jesus doesn't say, if you hungered and thirsted at one point, that's cool. You're good for the rest of your life. He says you got to hunger and thirst presently, actively, daily, weekly in your life. You can't rest on yesterday's nutrition to fill you today. And man, that's the issue for some of us. When it came to the Christian life, we used to try to fill ourselves. Like we used to be in church every weekend. Now a lot of you come to church when you feel like it. Or there's not your favorite NFL game on, or as your kids don't have a sport going on. Like, and you wonder why you don't feel filled every week. Some of you sexually, it's like, you're like, eh. Yeah, I'm just gonna nibble on what I like in scripture. I like that page. I don't like that. Nope. That's cool. I'll take the get out of hell free card. Thanks, Jesus, for dying for me. But when it comes to like, I don't want to do that. It's got to be present, active, and all of it. You got to hunger and thirst for it all. This is where God is going to, I think, get the attention of some of you today. Because some of us have fed so much on the things of this world, we've lost our hunger for God. And God has you here today to say, I have a platter that I want to present you, that if you would fill up on this, not all this junk food you've been filling up on, you would not believe how filled up you'd be in life. And I'm going to pry a little bit with you today, okay? And just push you a little bit, because I think God has someone here for a reason. At CCV, our goal is not for you to just come on the weekends, gather, and then the rest of the week just go do whatever you want. Our goal is for you to be activated here and to have a daily active faith where you're filling up on the righteousness of God. And that's why what we have here at CCV is we present you with a platter of next steps. And what next steps are is they're just things based on scripture that we know are going to put you in an environment where you can be filled up and find the righteousness God wants for you. And let me just list a few of our next steps. One is baptism. Because with baptism, what you need is, again, if you intuitively or instinctively are going to desire the things of this world, how are you ever going to get beyond that if you don't have the Spirit of God in you? And when you say yes to Jesus, you receive His Spirit, which helps guide you every single day. And some of you have just never said yes to Jesus, repented, and been baptized. That's your next step. And if you need to talk to someone today, we have pastors and volunteers that are ready to talk to you about your next step. But it's not just, remember, it's not just saying yes to Jesus one time. Then there's worship. Like, we need to be in church. Scripture says to not neglect the gathering. We should be in church every single weekend. And then daily, you want to be worshiping in God's Word. And we're trying to provide you ways to do that are really simple and easy. Then there's groups. You know, they say you are what you eat. I would tell you that you are right now the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And if you don't have godly people around you that are investing in you and you're doing life with them, you're at a disadvantage with being filled up in this world when it comes to righteousness. You're going to chase everything in this world. You got to have people around you helping you grow. And that's why we say around CCV that transformation doesn't happen in a row on the weekend. It happens in a circle during the week. That's why we have CCV groups all across the valley. And then we have a next step of giving. You're like, what's that? Yeah, because if you hoard everything you've been given for yourself, do you understand you'll rot inside? Because you'll think more money or more material things will fill you up. When you were designed by God to get generous towards others in His kingdom, that's how you're fulfilled in this life. And then there's serving. A next step of serving, because what we know is that every single one of you have been given gifts by God. And until you use those gifts from God for something bigger than just yourself, you'll never be fulfilled in this life. So how do you chase after God's righteousness? By continuing to take next steps in your faith and putting yourself in environments where you can be filled up. And these aren't all next steps. I mean, there's all sorts of other next steps, like sharing your faith and, you know, getting involved in other things. But these are next steps that we think are really, really important for you to actually have the life God wants for you. And so my guess is God has maybe someone here today to just say that it's time for you to take a next step in your life. And here's what some of you are thinking. I don't have time for that. I actually don't have time to be in church every weekend. I don't have time to be in a group. I don't have time to serve. And please hear me. This is what you're telling God, okay? God, I'm going to continue to fill up on this because I don't have time for what you say is most important. And I just hope I'm going to be fulfilled. And God's like, you're kidding yourself. This is empty calories. And what God may want to just shake you with today is that it's time to reorient your life around His righteousness, His ways, His word, and you just come and see, taste and see if this isn't the way to live the most fulfilled life you could ever imagine. And as a church, we're here to help you take your next step. It's our whole goal. But some of you have to feel today and be convicted today and take action today that on your own, you can't have a junk food diet and expect a fulfilled life. When I was growing up, I'll come back to the Fruity Pebbles. My mom was a cereal Nazi. Any other moms out there were cereal Nazis? We never had Fruity Pebbles in our house. And the reason why is my mom had a rule with cereal that you could only pick out a cereal if sugar wasn't one of the first three ingredients. How many of you think there's a lot of cereals where sugar is not one of the first three ingredients? There's hardly any. I would go to the aisle and I'd be like, oh, please, 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 please. No. I put it back. Nope. Nope. You know what cereals have sugar as not one of the first three ingredients? Grape nuts. Cheerios. Not Honey Nut. No, 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 no. The boring Cheerios. You know, like just the regular flakes. And then like the brand cereal. You know what I'm talking about? My mom was like, this is going to be great fiber for you. I'm like, Mom, shag carpet has fiber. This tastes like shag carpet. You know, my mom was ahead of her time because even though my friends had all this, this doesn't fill you up. Tastes great. Trust me, I'll still eat some of this today and pound it. But you live your life on Fruity Pebbles, and you're going to live a life where you never, ever are filled. And there's someone today that's the picture of your spiritual life. You're not filled because you're filling up on all the wrong things. And today, I just want to pray that God gets a hold of you, that you would say, blessed, blessed. I would be happy beyond measure. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Like we've done every week, I want to ask you to stand on all of our campuses, and I want us to just read this verse out loud, maybe as a declaration today that you want to make a change and you want to chase after God's ways, not your gut, in a whole new way. Would you read this aloud with me? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Father, I want to pray for every person here today, and especially those who know that they're empty in life. God, there's so many things in this world to just chase after, and yet Satan has us filling up on junk food when you got something so much better for us. So for the man or woman here today that in their marriage, with their mental health, with their family, with their work or career, they just continue to feel empty, would you help them chase after something new and maybe chase a next step that is so oriented around your righteousness, not the ways this world says are right? And I pray for every person that we would take a next step in our faith so that you'd continue to grow us and fill us to become more like you. That's how life works. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, hope you enjoy barbecue weekend. We'll see you back next week.